T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
He does join us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. On his maiden voyage on the Bernstein and Holmes show, it's Cubs manager David Ross. What's up, Rossi?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
I thought you were blowing us off because I'm part of this show now. It would be an absolutely understandable reaction to say, that's it, Bernstein's here, I'm done, I'm never calling again. So it's cool
well,
that we're here.
I definitely thought about it, but then our media guy called me and said, "Hey, let's reconsider and make sure you call in."
No, I get it.
Oh no, I'm happy. I mean, Lawrence, you know, there's only so many questions he'll ask, so it's nice, man. I'm happy for you guys. Hope things are going well so far.
So far, so good. I had a bunch of like baseball-y type questions for you, but did you go see Top Gun Maverick?
I did not.
Damn it, Rossi!
Come on, man.
So, hey, I had Father's Day. I had everybody and their brother in town for Father's Day last week, and my kids. That's why I'm a little bit late today. I'm dropping my daughter off at volleyball stuff, and
that's BS.
I was playing dad, so
nah.
My scheduling for the show and watching Top Gun. But my daughter did bring it up yesterday that we got to watch it together because her mom went and saw it on her own. I was like, oh, shoot, I hope Lawrence doesn't ask me about that tomorrow.
All right, well, then we'll delay it again for the next time that you're on, but we've both seen it. Now, Dan and I have both seen it. You're going to love it, man. Like, you're going to absolutely, like, it's field trip worthy. It's like pack up the guys in the clubhouse and take them to see Top Gun Maverick worthy.
All right, good. It'll definitely be first thing we talk about next time.
Okay, good.
But we can get to baseball now. So you had baseball questions.
I do.
We had Ian Happ on earlier today, and he described the comeback win on Sunday as one of those sort of tentpole victories where that kind of hard work and that kind of faith in a team being able to do that, to feel yourselves do it, to see yourselves do it, can be a material thing for young players. Is he right?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. Like, we haven't had a whole lot of comeback wins this year, and Saturday, Ortega hit a big homer, I think, in the seventh or eighth that tied it to make it 3-3, and then we just ran out of some pitching there at the end, and, you know, they added on. We couldn't score. But to be able to put one across the board in the 10th and then D-Rob locking it down and, you know, getting that strikeout, to two strikeouts to end the game was huge. Yeah, man, it's the first one that felt in a while that felt like we played really good baseball, did things good fundamentally, made some great defensive plays. Nico made one against Goldschmidt up the middle. Happer made one in the corner that probably saved the game when Rowick was pitching. I think that was a seventh. So, yeah, man, it was like an all-around really good team win. When you get behind by five early on, it gets a good St. Louis team and you fight back and guys put up good at bats and score. Those are things that you talk about, you preach about, and to be able to see all that come together in a game and win a series on the road was really rewarding.
How valuable is it to get David Bote back?
It's nice. I mean, Bote Show brings a lot of versatility. He's got real power. He hits the ball as hard as anybody we really got on the team. You know, he went through a long road of recovery, and getting him back is going to be really nice, putting him in the lineup pretty regularly. I can now spell. I haven't been able to give Wisdom many days off. You know, we haven't been great defensively at second base with Madrigal out and getting David Bodie back, that's definitely an upgrade. And being able to mix and match some guys and get them some rest as well is always important. So I'm happy to have David back.
Christopher Morel arrived on the scene with a bang and was just this infusion of enthusiasm and baseball joy. And now he's dealing with the fact that Major League Baseball is hard. And everybody knew this was going to happen because this happens. How do you manage someone like this, someone with his relentless, upbeat nature and his positivity through what has to be a difficult time to make the adjustments to the adjustments?
Yeah, you know, it's just about continuing to let them develop and play. I mean, we're in a situation where, you know, you got to let guys go through some struggles. I think every major leaguer to some degree has some sort of adversity, and I talk about that a lot and how that builds the character of just being able to have a sustained long career in Major League Baseball. When the league adjusts to you, you got to adjust back and continue to pound on the foundational things that got you there. And you know, like you said, the burst at which he came on the scene for us, you understand that's really hard to sustain and love it, but you see that potential to there. You just continue to stay positive and create the good work habits, the good routines. And then when you see him getting off track, whether it's, you know, swinging outside of the zone or not taking his walks or, you know, not having a real plan up there, then you just start to reiterate, hey, when you're good, these are the things that you do well. This is your plan. This is the things you established early on when you were up here raking. Let's not get away from those and continue to just reinforce some of those positives.
Rossi, Dan and I were having a conversation about pitching, and I'm wondering from your perspective as someone who caught for forever and now as a manager, who's been the best that you've seen at getting through starts when they haven't had their best velocity? And what do you think is key when a pitcher's trying to find velocity and still is able to get people out?
Well, you know, I think that kind of stuff, the best I've seen, you know, probably, you know, obviously John Lester is a name everybody will recognize. When you have a long career and you're able to be around and win as many games as he was able to, over 200 wins, I mean, it's pretty obvious that that guy knows how to handle when he doesn't have his best stuff. He used to say, you know, another guy that comes to mind is Tim Hudson with that sinker ball. He could throw that like guys pounding the ground. He could get away with days where he wasn't commanding the ball or didn't have the best velocity. He would use movement. But John used to say, and a lot of pitchers will reiterate this that are around a long time, you know, you have 30 starts within the season, let's say, as a starting pitcher, as one of the horses. And, you know, you're going to have five where you're unhittable and nobody's going to touch you. And you feel like you're as dominant as anybody's ever pitched. And there's going to have five that you can't get anybody out and you're going to be, you know, terrible. And you'll get hit all over the yard. You might not make it, you know, through three, four innings. But there's another 20 in there that you're going to have to pitch. You're going to have to find a way to get outs, and that's what's going to make or break your season, those other 20 starts and how you handle those, and whether you're commanding the ball, whether you're throwing it hard, and how you navigate lineups is another aspect to that. So I think that's true for most pitchers. You're going to have great days, you're going to have bad days, and it's what you do with the days where you're just kind of mediocre. And when you don't have velocity, you don't have command, it's about what do you have that day? Are you spinning the ball a little bit better? Are you – you know, you got a team that swings a little bit more so you can go to chase a little early on, or are you pounding the zone early hoping their timing's not on to try to get off the barrel and soft contact? There's a lot of ways to navigate through that, and I think each individual is different, but the evolution of pitchers, and you see this with some of our guys, whether it's Justin Steele or Keegan Thompson, the evolution to me is velocity and stuff is going to be the first thing that gets you there. You're going to be able to beat guys in the zone. You're probably not going to command the corners as much nowadays, and you're going to use probably one or two big weapons, like it's like Keegan and Justin both forcing fastballs as a strength, and they've got a secondary cutter or slider off that. You know, you're going to pitch with those two pitches. As you evolve and as you become a veteran, as you see guys like John at the end of his career or Adam Wainwright, when you lose the velocity, you start to learn how to pitch a little bit more. You sink the ball, you cut the ball, you change speeds, you can pitch backwards, you throw soft and fastball counts. There's just a lot of different ways to navigate and continue to grow as a pitcher. So those guys that you're seeing with just real velocity now when you're up to fours and fives, you know, if they're able to stick around for 10, 15 years, like some of the guys that I just mentioned, you'll probably see a different pitcher on the back end of their career.
I'm interested then hearing that where Kyle Hendricks fits into this right now, because he would seem to be at something of a career crossroads, not just at his age on this team where the Cubs organization is, but at 31 and 32, if we look at the numbers from the past 2 years, they're remarkably consistent in a large sample size. We are talking of more than 250 innings now with an ERA of around 4.8. The peripherals, if we look at fielder independent pitching or XFIP or XERA, all right there as well. And he is struggling a bit to be what he was. Is there another act for Kyle Hendricks? Is there a reinvention, or are we seeing what the beginning of the end could look like?
I think that's natural to go down that path. I would say the things that we've identified, the things that the information would tell us, whether it's the way the changeups working, where the velocity is, where the curveball is spinning, is better than his numbers are pretty much on par or better than they've been. I think for him, it's just getting back to real command. And you know, when he gets beat, you see him have flashes of great outings. His last outing was phenomenal. And the way he pitched in St. Louis, a lot of early contact, a lot of soft contact. He's going to have a lot more of those, in my opinion, moving forward. But as you do age, as your stuff will tick down, as you're alluding to, as he gets older, you will come up with other ways to get guys out. And you also, you're going to get, things are going to get exposed when you're not on your A game. And I think that's what you see. I don't see an inconsistent work ethic. I don't see an inconsistent mentality and doing the same, getting away from who he's always been. I think when he has a bad day, it's bad. He's not going to get away with missing barrels as much as some other guys that have velocity. And, you know, he's relying on movement and location, and when he has those things working, he's a pretty darn good pitcher, and I think a guy that we trust a lot. And it's just about being consistent. It's the hardest thing to do in sports, I believe, and especially at the highest level, is to be consistent. And we've seen a real consistent pitcher for a long time, and as of late, it just hadn't been as consistent. But I know where his heart is, where his work ethic is, and he's continued to work through those things, and he wants to be better. And, you know, we trust in his process to do that.
One more thing that I was curious about, like big picture baseball stuff, Rossi, was how do you develop a catcher these days? Because we know that sometimes, like, guys that show power potential on the offensive side, that maybe play catcher, end up getting moved to another position. How would you go about, like, saying, I want to develop someone who can handle a staff and be a defensive stalwart? And if they've got the offensive tools, great. But how do you go about doing that?
I mean, one, reps, conversations. You know, we don't get a chance, especially like publicly, to have those failures. You know, I've called many a pitch at times, whether Albert Pujols was in the box or a young guy where, you know, I didn't recognize that he might be sitting on my pitcher's best pitch, or navigating pitching around a guy with a base open, even though it's not first base. Maybe it's third base. Maybe it's first and second, two outs, and you just don't like the matchup, and you still try to get him out, and you make mistakes. Or you're trying to pitch backwards to a guy that's a veteran and knows that you're not going to beat him or let him beat you. There's just a lot of experience that has to go into that. And then you talk through those moments. You talk through those mistakes, so to speak, and say, hey, what were you thinking there? You know, like game calling type stuff. And that's a feel. It takes a long time to learn and get that experience. That's why you see guys like Yan Gomes stick around for so long. He's had such great feel, and he's been in these battles and won world championships and been through every scenario just about you could predict for guys. That's a real value. And, you know, we got a guy like P.J. Higgins coming along. He's got real feel back there. You got the experience of Wilson Contreras. Those things are invaluable. And when you have young players – sometimes those are things that you have to be patient on and wait for that experience. I think all those things, why Major League players that have established themselves over time as being really good and really consistent, they get paid a lot of money. So you have to understand there's some growth that's going to happen in the middle of guys getting better and learning how to handle things at this level.
Rossi, as always, we appreciate the time. I'm glad that you're still going to be hanging out with us. Good luck tonight. Keep it rolling, and we'll talk to you soon.
Always enjoy talking to you guys. I'll get on that movie.
Yeah, go see it.
That movie process. Yeah, I'll get on there now. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too, Rossi. This is David Ross.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.